It is very good to be back.
Are you here by yourself?
Did you think our story was over?
You guys having fun at the convention?
Missed you.
We're the Thursday Murder Club.
Viva la revolution!
What a melody.
Things are getting a little out of hand.
You're the only friend I ever had.
Movie news.
Woohoo! Marmalade.
With Gareth Daly.
The new version.
Good afternoon to you, Gareth. How are you?
I'm good. Not too bad.
Good.
Well, Christmas ready at this stage.
Yes, exactly. Now, we're going to sort of round up the year and take a quick look ahead at what's to come at the beginning of January, movies-wise. But where are we going to start, Gareth?
Well, I think, how about our own lists of the year? We rarely do that, don't we? I mean, well, we chat amongst ourselves about it and what we like, but yeah.
Yeah, well, you did send me a few little points about what you might be asking me, and you're going to give your choices too. So where are we starting?
Well, let's start with performance of the year in movies. I've gone for Michael B. Jordan in Sinners. Mm. I loved the movie. It was a terrific watch. And when I think back to his performance, because he played two roles in it.
He
played
super.
These twin brothers in it. And he was super in the movie. And that cannot have been easy. I think he's a terrific actor anyway.
Yeah.
And I think he's going to get recognition for this and nominations. We've probably already seen it in the Golden Globes. And that will probably continue as well. But I thought he was super. He was really good in a really good movie as well.
Okay. So performance of the year for me, funnily enough that you asked me this week, because I saw Sentimental Value this week. The Norwegian filmmaker, okay. Joachim Trier has once again cast Renate Renseva, who people might remember from The Worst Person in the World. She got the Best Actress prize back in 2021 at Cannes. And she completely blew me away the other night when I saw this film. It's out December 26th. And I just think she was fantastic in it. So she blew me away. And just because it's movies and musicals, I think I have to give a special mention to Cynthia Erivo in Wicked and Wicked for Good, because I just think she blew it out of the park once again. Whatever about the follow-up, I think she's an incredible talent. So that's our performance of the year. TV show of the year, Gareth?
Oh, this was a hard one. There was such good TV shows like White Lotus. And you know what? I went for Andor, the mm-hmm. Star Wars series. I absolutely loved it. I could not wait for it. They were releasing it in blocks, and there was so many episodes. Stellan Skarsgård that you mentioned there, that was in that movie, is brilliant in Andor. Absolutely love him in it.
Great actor.
Thought it was terrific. The look of it, the feel of it. It's a limited series, so it concluded. It was building up to something that we knew. And I think, when it comes to sort of adapting Star Wars for either screen, big or small, I thought Andor just got it perfectly right, and I loved it.
Okay, I have chosen Adolescence, which I think sort of one of the big shows, wasn't it, of the year, from Jack Thorne and Stephen Graham, and of course young Owen Cooper as the 14-year-old Jamie Miller in it. It gripped the nation, didn't it?
And conversations going
it
amongst
did.
People as well.
Yeah.
It was really, really well done.
So Adolescence for me, and just special mention to one that was on Channel 4 very recently that really gripped me, and that was Trespasses. Did you see that one, the adaptation of
Lola Pettigrew starring?
Yeah.
I've not seen it yet.
It's really, really good. Louise Kennedy's novel, Lola Pettigrew, and Gillian Anderson, just sort of forbidden love set against the troubles, brilliantly made and cast. So I loved that. What's your next question for me?
A movie that you went to see that didn't really have a lot of hype, and then you actually really liked it. So hype going into it.
One that I just hadn't heard much about, now it has made me more hype since, was Train Dreams, which sort of snuck in on Netflix. And I was like, oh. And it just was superb. I thought Joel Edgerton was so, so good in it, because it's just sort of about an ordinary guy, but he's working in the forests of the Pacific Northwest, so sort of working on the land, helping to create this sort of new world at the turn of the 20th century. It could have been incredibly dull. It's just people living out their lives, but such a beautiful love story with Felicity Jones. It's a real celebration of the natural world, subtle and pensive and understated, and I thought excellent, really, really gripping. I really loved it. That was Train Dreams.
Kerry Condon in it too.
Exactly.
And the cinematography is just glorious in that movie. I absolutely adored the framing and the look of it.
Yeah.
A lot of it shot with natural light, actually.
Yeah.
They didn't use a lot of lights on it, but it looked terrific, and he's brilliant.
Yes.
I've gone for Sorry Baby. This is the sort of black comedy drama. Eva Victor directed it as her directorial debut. She also stars in it. This it follows a reclusive college literary professor struggling with depression following a sexual assault. I thought the film was executed brilliantly. Mm. It was real thought-provoking. It moved at a very slow pace, but it was one I didn't know much about going in to see it, and it really, really struck me as a really assured directing debut, and I thought it was a strong contender. And actually, she got nominated in the Golden Globes just recently as well, so I was delighted to see that because okay. It was a small independent movie called Sorry Baby.
Okay, your next question was there something you watched despite not liking it? And you added, be honest now. Okay, you go
well,
first.
Will I go first?
Go on.
Okay, it was House of Guinness. okay. And I love so many of the actors in it. Nothing on them. It was more so the writing didn't grab me and maybe the telling of it. I just didn't connect with it. And the thing was, I went, oh my gosh, I'm after watching every episode. So there was something about it, probably the actors, that just, I think it got better as it went along, but there was many of occasions where I thought, I'm not going to watch the next episode. And then I ended up watching it all, but there you go.
Fair play, I didn't make it to the end at all. Do you know, when you put this question to me again this week, it's that time of year when it's sort of guilty pleasures. You know, the Hallmark type Christmas movies that we all end up getting sucked in, and they're really awful.
What did you watch?
They're just awful. So I got caught the other night watching Champagne Problems on Netflix, and I watched the whole thing. And it's terrible. It's a terrible American romantic comedy. I've never heard of any of the actors in it. It's Sydney, an executive for an investment group, travels to France. I mean, Paris looks gorgeous, to acquire a renowned champagne brand before Christmas. And then, of course, complications, because she meets a charming Parisian and sparks fly. Turns out, of course, he is the founder's son. And it's really cheesy, but I have recommended it to everybody because we need those movies around this time of year.
And the weather was terrible.
You know,
need to just sit back.
Just absolutely one of those. Now then, where are we going next? Before we pick, you say, our best movies, can you think of an outstanding best screen moment or moments of 25? So you go first on this one.
I've gone for Mission Impossible, The Final Reckoning. And the thing about it is I feel that we just take them for granted, particularly we've seen so many of those Mission Impossible sequences down through the years, and they're always amazing, particularly on the big screen. I'm thinking of the plane scene towards the end. I mean, it's shot for real. Tom's hanging off a plane and it's brilliantly done. There was also the submarine sequence as well, which was really, really tense. And like he's in like Arctic waters and he ends up in his underpants. But at the same time, it's utterly thrilling. Yeah. And we underestimate them. And there's just something about, I always go back and watch those sequences in the Mission Impossible movies because I look at the skill that has been brought to it, the stunts that are involved. Mm. And the way that they just can make these sequences literally fly. And
excellent.
I thought they were amazing.
Okay. Yeah. For me, I'm going to pick the return of Daniel Day-Lewis onto the big screen in Anemone.
I didn't
adore the movie, but I was so excited to see him back on the big screen. And he was superb. Really excited to see him. I just also thought of just a few moments in films that came to mind. For example, Emma Stone being chased by Jesse Plemons in Yorgos Lanthimos's
Begonia.
Just cracked me up. Those mad moments like Leonardo DiCaprio falling off the roof that I didn't see coming in one battle after another when he was on the run.
Brilliant.
Was hilarious. And also one I just saw the other day, the end of It Was Just an Accident, the Palme d'Or winner, just the very end of that movie. No spoiler alerts, but it's just kind of quite a moment, and I thought it was a superb ending. What Irish movie did you really enjoy this year?
I went for Christie. I thought that was a great movie. Two estranged brothers with a checkered childhood in the care system suddenly find themselves living under the same roof. Great performances. Danny Power, Dermot Noyes in it. Brendan Canty direct with assured quality there from his own script as well. So Christie was the one I went for.
Well, snap. Christie was the one I went for too. I thought it was a standout Irish film this year. Just full of heart and humour. A beautifully told story and a great cast. So well done to all for Christie this year. And just to mention too, we've covered it a lot on the show, but I just loved that Blue Moon was filmed here. Ethan Hawke and Richard Linklater's beautifully captured the era, and great to see Irish talent like Andrew Scott and Simon Delaney in this film. So loved that. So movie of the year?
For me, it was One Battle After Another. Mm. I adore Paul Thomas Anderson. I love his films. And just going to see it in the cinema was everything. everything, just that big screen telling and great, great performances in it. It was a really, really enjoyable experience. And really liked One Battle After Another.
I'm snap with you on that one too, One Battle After Another. Although you do have to remember that The Brutalist, even though it won at the Oscars, is a 2025 movie.
Okay, it is,
I would say The Brutalist and One Battle After the Other were possibly the best. And what movie are you most looking forward to in 2026, Garrett?
It would have to be the new Steven Spielberg film. Anytime he makes a film, I get very, very excited. Yeah. We think it's going to be called Disclosure. We don't know much about it. It's got UFO storyline. Emily Blunt, Josh O'Connor, Colin Firth, Eve Houston, Coleman Domingo. Yeah, and David Cope has penned the script. Yanis Kaminski's back serving as cinematographer. It's going to be out June 12th. So that's my pick, the Steven Spielberg film.
Very good pick. Looking forward to that too. For me, it's basically anything starring Jesse Buckley, because I think Jesse Buckley is going to just have an amazing 2026. I've already been lucky enough to see her in Hamlet. She's extraordinary in it. She's also going to be in Maggie Gyllenhaal's The Bride. I just think she's amazing. She's having a moment. I'm looking forward to Devil Wears Prada 2 and Toy Story 5 as well when it comes to sequels. And of course, Christopher Nolan's The Odyssey, we have to mention too.
Yes, that's true. That's out as well over the summer.
Brilliant, Garrett. Well, just before we let you go, remind us of movies that are coming out on St. Stephen's Day, please.
Yeah, a lot of movies out St. Stephen's Day. Saipan, this is the big Roy Keane, Mick McCarthy movie. That's out. I think a lot of people are looking forward to that and we'll go along to see it. Marty Supreme is Timothy Chalamet starring in that one, set in the 1950s. Been getting good reviews as well. You want a bit of a laugh. Anaconda's on the big screen as well. Jack Black and Paul Rudd. I like
Looks
the sound
hilarious.
Of it. They go to recreate it and it's just one of those, it's kind of one of those throwback movies.
Yes.
Looks like fun. You were talking about it earlier, Sentimental Values.
Brilliant.
Out as well. And Sydney Sweeney stars in The Housemaid. So, like, yeah, a lot on Stephen's Day on the big screen. And of course, this weekend you have Avatar Fire and Ice, which is the big movie as well. But see that one in 3D if you're going to go see it.
Okay. If we're not heading out, we of course have our RTE guide because there are so many movies to look forward to. Pick a couple for us, Garrett.
Yeah. So, we've got on Christmas Day, we've got Barbie. That's on RTE1 at 9:40. That's followed by Belfast. That's Kenneth Branagh's Belfast. It's on at 11:35. Big movie on Stephen's Day on RT1 at 9:20. It's Oppenheimer with Cillian Murphy. Love that movie, and that'll kill a good few hours, that one. Banshees of Inisherin is on Saturday the 27th at 9:40 on RT1. And then a couple of just film-related programmes. There's a Gene Kelly documentary on T.G. Carr Christmas Day. And Jim Sheridan features in Keys to My Life with Brendan Courtney on Stephen's Day on 8 p.m. on RTE1 as well. And quick question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Is there one Christmas movie you watch every year without fail?
Oh, it's A Wonderful Life. It wouldn't be the same if I didn't watch it. I mean, there's Elf and there's Die Hard, but it's A Wonderful Life.
Yes.
It has to be watched. What about you?
Well, we watch a short every Christmas Eve, The Snowman.
Oh, lovely.
The kids loved watching it every Christmas Eve, and that one has continued even as they've got older as well.
Oh.
It's the lovely animated The Snowman is the one that we always watch.
Well, Garrett, wishing you and the family a very happy Christmas, and thanks for all the movie news in 2025.
Same to you, Aideen, and happy Christmas to you and all your listeners.